Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at David's song. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that for this time together in the scriptures, and that in your scriptures you've given us everything we need pertaining to life and to godliness. We thank you, Father, that as you open the scriptures to us, we drink deeply from them and find in them the nourishment that we may change into that image that you desire for us. So as we open the scriptures today, open us up to them that we may receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Today we're going to look at, as I said, David's song. Now I have a lot of friends in ministry that have tremendous giftings in all aspects of ministry, and some of them in music. Some of them have just beautiful ability to write songs that just present you before the throne of God. Some in worship leaders that when you are there, you can hear the angels sing. Some who even work prophetically through music. And so today, I won't want to get your hopes up. I am none of the above. Of all of the gifts and talents that God has bestowed upon me, music is not in the top 100. Anyway, but every single one of us does have a gift in music. And today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at, as I said, David's song. Now, when you think of David's song, you probably think of the book of Psalms, where so many of the songs that that David wrote are recorded and are kept down. While we may not have the music, we have the lyrics. And we know that they were inspired by God. And I mean, there are other writers in there, but David did the bulk of them. And how marvelous they are. But this may be one of David's songs that you've never heard before. And I think that hopefully you'll be blessed by it today. Let me tell you, just back up a little bit on what kind of has inspired today's message. I was with somebody this last week who loves the Lord, but in her youth had suffered many things, some kind of horrific things, and through her life has had challenges and struggles. And really loves the Lord and really has a desire for her life to reflect the goodness of the Lord. But finds some things, some changes difficult. struggles with forgiveness, struggles with some other things. And it's easy to say we ought to do something, but much of the time our concern ought to be, how do we do it? We may all know we ought to be physically better shape, but how do I get myself there? We all may know we ought to be saved, but how do we get saved? My father-in-law used to say that sinners know they are sinners. That's not telling them that they're sinners is not the news. But how do you, they may know they ought to be saved, but how do we get saved? How do we change our lives? How do we turn things around? How do we look in the scriptures and see the image of Christ and be transformed into that? And this has always been a fascination for me. So this may be a good opportunity for us to look at that. It's, we very seldom need somebody to tell us we need to change, but we don't always know the mechanism to get that accomplished. So we will start with a scripture today before we get to David's song that for me, and I think I've shared this before, is one of a foundational scripture to me, a very important scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Change is fundamental to life. The reason that the Christian life is what it is because we believe that change is possible. If we didn't believe change was possible, as Paul said, we would be of all men most miserable, being awakened to our spiritual plight, yet unable to change it. So this scripture, I think, is a very, we won't go into all the depths of it, but just one aspect of it. So it is the last verse of chapter 3. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that is like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. By the Spirit of the Lord is how that happens. But as we behold as in a mirror, and that behold is the word to stare, it's a fixed gaze. As we gaze in this mirror, we are changed. And that, I know I've shared this with you before, in the Greek is in the middle voice, present tense. And if you don't know what that is, go look it up, find out, or go back through the archives. This is a very important thing to talk about. Middle voice, present tense. This is not just a one-time event. I look in the mirror, boom, that's the Lord. Okay, great, I'm there. But as we gaze at it, what happens? This is the mystery. So many of the spiritual things in life are a mystery. Capital M or small m. This is a capital M. How do we change? And part of the mystery of it is that as we behold this, we are changed. That our change, as I said, is middle voice. What does that mean? It means that we both take the action and are recipient of the action. In English, there are only two voices, active and passive. But somewhere in the middle between those two, the Greeks understood there was a middle voice where it is both active and passive. As I actively seek the Lord, I passively am changed by the Lord. I have to seek out change, but my seeking it out doesn't make it happen. It is the Lord that makes it happen, but he can't just chase me down and make me change. It is a cooperative thing, actively and passively. As I change, I am being changed by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is how we get that point of change. And I wanted to use an example of David. And I'm not saying King David, because a lot of this was before he was king. So much of the time in the scriptures, and I think I'm going to harp on this one for a few times as we gather together around the scriptures, It is not just the miracle. So much of the time we focus on the miracle, or we focus on the victory, or we focus on the event. It is what precipitated it and what follows. It's not just that the man born blind could see, but it's what came after that, that he spoke with the Lord, and the Lord said, it is I who both speaks with you and that you now see. Anyway, it's not just that Elijah called down fire from the Mount Carmel. What did he do after that? What do we do with our miracles? What do we do? I think one of the best examples, I'm going left of field already, but one of the best examples of that is Hezekiah. Hezekiah was given an additional 15 years. That's a miracle that I know a lot of people would take. And yet, what did he accomplish with those 15 years? The Bible doesn't say that he did any positive thing for himself, for his family, for his nation. And so just getting the miracle is not enough. Anyway, enough of that. So we may all know the miracle of the great victory when little David, killed Goliath, the giant, the 10-foot giant. And I know I've touched on this before, and just a couple of weeks ago we did the book, the bag, and the sling, which is one of my faves out of the scriptures. But we're going to look at it from a little bit different point today, and that is looking at it from David's song. David was a shepherd as a young man. He wasn't trained in war, was he? He wasn't trained in the military art. His older brothers went to the military, went to serve in the army, and they were there stuck at the valley with King Saul, and where the giant came out and goaded them each day. And so David actually was just sent to deliver him lunch, kind of Jimmy John's, I guess. Anyway, he took his brother's lunch and he heard this thing going on. Now, we all know that a great thing happened, not just for David, but for the entire nation, that the Philistines were routed. And it's great to be a part of something. It's not like David set out to do that. I mean, we've talked about reluctant heroes. He didn't set out to be a hero, but something happened. He just went there to deliver lunch, and he heard that thing happen. And he said to the king, he said, you know, let me go take care of this. Now, here's this 7-foot king. You remember Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody. I just rounded up to 7 foot. He may have only been 6'7". I don't know. But I say a 7-foot king. And then Goliath, we know, we can kind of figure out also roughly. I just call him a 10-foot giant. Anyway, so here's this 7-foot king. And little runty David, this small boy, comes in and he says, oh, I can take care of him. And the king scoffs at him. You know, it's like, you're just a little runty boy from out in the fields. How are you going to do this? And David reveals something that showed how he got to the point. Let me tell you, in our lives, for all of us, there are giants that are trying to ruin our lives. There are giants that want us to be, even if they don't actually destroy us, they want to keep us so afraid that we don't do anything. So here was this giant, and here was little David. David's song, the king said to him, he said, look, how are you going to take care of this? And David, just as bold as he could be and confident, not cocky, but confident, not arrogant, but full of the power of the Lord, says to him, look, king, he said, I just take care of the sheep, and I'm out there by myself, and I take care of the sheep, he said, and then one day, a lion came in and took one of the lambs, took one of the kids, and he said, I I killed a lion. And he also tells him that another time, a bear came in. And when the bear came in, they also tried to steal one of the kids, and he killed the bear. And he says, now this guy, this 10-foot giant, he didn't emphasize Goliath's stature. He emphasized his spiritual origin. This uncircumcised dog comes to mock us, to make fun of us, to ridicule our God. And so David says that, and so his focus wasn't on how dangerous Goliath was, but how spiritually wrong he was. The same thing is true of the lion and the bear. The lion has no right to come and take one of them. So he's more focused on the righteousness of it instead of the dangerousness of it. And so with the bear. But he says to him, he says, you know, O king, let me tell you, this is what happened. And in all confidence, he tells him this. So I want to break this down, because the real power of David didn't come from how well he handled his sling. Where his power came from was the confidence that God would back this up. Now watch, how did he get that kind of confidence that this event would take place? Little David is out there in the fields, and he's got his lyre or his lute or whatever he has with him, and he makes up his songs. He sings how glorious God is, and I see the Lord in the heavens, and, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He's writing these beautiful songs. So you understand, this is my song, O David. One day he's there just singing and watching the flock, and this lion, this mountain lion comes in, all full of danger and threatening, but he is full of the Lord. He's full of these songs that he's been singing. What do I have to fear? The Lord is on my side. All these things that he's been singing, that, you know, that the Lord will cause me to prevail. And so he takes his sling and he kills the mountain lion. Now he's going to write his song. And you'll just have to forgive me, because this is the way it comes out. David starts, he took that victory with the mountain lion, and he wrote a song that says, killed a mountain lion, killed a mountain lion. Ooh, look at me, I'm a mountain lion killer. Oh, by the grace of God and by the God's help, I've killed a mountain lion. That was his song. And he'd sing it to himself on those dark nights and those lonely times. I'm a mountain killing man. I'm a mountain lion killer. That's me. I've killed the mountain lion. By God's grace, I've killed the mountain lion. And he liked that song. That was a good song, and it would remind him of the great victory that he had. Then he was singing it one night, and in comes a bear. Well, because he'd been singing, I'm a mountain lion killer, all of a sudden that bear shrunk down to size, and he said, who is this bear to come in and take one of my father's sheep? So he got his sling ready and he killed the bear. And now he adds a second verse to his song. Killed a mountain lion, killed a mountain lion, I'm a mountain lion killer. Whoop, by God's grace, I've killed a mountain lion. I'm a bear killer, killed a bear. By God's grace, I'm a bear killer. God in me has made me a killer of bears. Watch out, here I come. I'm a bear killer. And he'd sing these songs to himself. So while his big brothers were off waging war, and he was just delivering lunch and watching the flock, all the time he was singing songs to himself that kept fresh his victories before him. Now comes the day that he's there at this is all, of course, you can find in 1 Samuel chapter 17. So now here he is standing before the king. And it wasn't arrogance on his side, but his head is so full of his song that he says, King, killed a bear, I'm a bear killer, killed a lion, I'm a lion killer. This is just an uncircumcised dog. Let me at him. Amen. So here he is, and he's singing his song. We know that he kills kills Goliath. And David runs toward him with his sling, kills him. Then he continues to run, takes Goliath's sword from him. Now the sword is probably as big as he is, may even weigh as much as he does, and he cuts the head off of the giant. And he says to them, now you go ahead, take that head to Jerusalem. Why? Because that way it's the evidence, it's the proof to everybody that we're not just talking about what God can do. We're talking about what God has done. It's good for us to rehearse scripture sometimes about what God can do, but sometimes we need to rehearse what God has done in our lives, what we have done by the power of God. So here is David, sends the head off, okay? And now he's got another verse to put on his song. Killed a lion, killed a bear, killed a giant. Killed a lion, killed a bear, killed a giant. Ooh, by God's grace, I'm a giant killer. He didn't spring from being the little boy out in the field to being a giant killer. But his song changed it. Remember we read in Corinthians that as we continue to look into the mirror, that as we constantly keep before us these things, that's what we become. If he had just killed the lion and let it go, then he certainly would not have had the courage to kill the bear. But because he killed the lion and reminded himself of it, then when the bear came, he wasn't afraid. Now he's killed a lion and killed a bear. He's not afraid of a giant. And I can prove it to you another way. We've talked about David's song, but now we're going to also talk about David's trophy. It's the same principle. Do you remember in the story how when he came and he said, I can kill this, don't let him talk to us this way. Saul finally shrugged and said, okay, but how about you take my armor, take my armor. And for a moment or two, David tries it on and goes, man, this doesn't fit. I'm just this little kid out from the field. And here he's got on this armor of this 7-foot king. And it's like, I can't go into battle with this. It didn't fit him. Sometimes when we sing these songs, we're trying somebody else's armor on, and that armor doesn't fit us. We have to have our own tailor-made. It may be smaller, but it'll serve me better because it fits me. And then as we grow, we have to get a new verse on that, don't we? He tried it on. Now, there's a reason I'm telling you this, and it still goes back to keeping our eye on that thing, both David's song and David's trophy. Because when he killed the giant, Saul had offered his armor, but he wouldn't wear it. Now, after he has run down, after he's killed the giant, he runs down and he cuts off his head, which I told you, and he shares it. He sends it back to Jerusalem. He's not saying, oh, this is what God has done. It's not one of those evangelist kind of proudful things. This is the evidence. This is the proof of what God has done, the undeniable evidence. We don't need evidence to believe, but when we get it, we make use of it. Amen? So he sent that back, and he said, it's the same as when John the Baptist asked Jesus, he sent his people, he said, are you the one we're looking for, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus didn't answer him except for this. He said, you go and you tell him this. Tell him what you've seen. Tell him that you've seen you know, the blind eyes open, the sick healed, et cetera, et cetera. You tell him that and then let him draw his own conclusion. It isn't what we say about ourselves. It isn't even what we say about God. It's what we demonstrate. It's great to talk about how good God is, but if you are a unkind, mean-spirited, stingy, petty, backbiting little soul, nobody wasn't going to want your Jesus. That sounded hard. I didn't mean it that way. Sorry. But, it's what we live. So he sent the head of David back. The head of Goliath back so that everybody could see. We're not just talking about what God can do. We're talking about what God has done. Not I want to kill a lion. I have killed a lion. Here's his pelt. I've killed a bear. Here's his paw. Here's his teeth or his claws. That's why the warriors, Native American warriors and some of the native tribes of the like in Africa, they will make jewelry out of claws or teeth. And the point is to tell your enemies, don't mess with me. I'm a tough one. Don't mess with me. I'm a warrior. This is not my first battle. I've got something to show. These are our tokens. We sing songs, but we have tokens. So when that happened, remember, he sent the head back. Now Saul, King Saul says to him, wow, what you've done for our nation. What can I do for you? What do you want? You can have up to half the kingdom. And he said, I only want one thing. Now listen to this, because you know he rejected King Saul's armor. He said, I want Goliath's armor. Now, if you're the kind of kid whom you have rejected the king's armor because he's 7 feet tall and it doesn't fit you, you know, take shoes from an NBA player, they don't fit me. Then why in heaven's name, if the armor of a 7-foot king wouldn't fit you, why do you want the armor of a 10-foot giant? He's not going to wear it, but the same way he put another verse in his song, he put that token. Watch what he did with it. He didn't put it on. He didn't try it out. What he did with it, if you will see, is it says he put it in the corner of his tent. This is verse, we were in chapter 17, verse 54. And David took the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Why would he do that? This, anybody else would have been asking for money or for land or position or for power. So much of the time we have our eye on the wrong thing. God had done something huge for him, and he didn't see it as this is an opportunity to cash in ministry or in any way. He didn't say, no. Man, you know, there are a lot of times somebody give us write a big check, thank you. But it's knowing when to turn the check down. Remember Abraham, when the kings came to him, you know, he presented his tithe to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, I believe, gave him bread. I can't remember if he gave him wine, but anyway, he fed him. And the other kings, the kings of Salem, the kings of, I can't remember who all, they came to him. They wanted to give Abraham, you know, a token. Man, most of us would be quick to take and say, ooh, that's the answer from the Lord. That's God's, you know, supply. That's God's miracle. He said, no, thank you. He turned it down. He said, because I never want it said that anybody but God has made me rich. Now, he took from Melchizedek because that wasn't going to be the issue, was it? Sometimes we have to learn when to say no, when to turn down opportunity. If we see every open door as an invitation from God, we will end up in some places we ought not. Trust me, anybody who's been in ministry for a while knows this. We've done that, you know. And so when I say that, hear me very well. It is common. It was common clear back to Abraham, the father of us all, down through the ages. Not every open door is an invitation from God. Sometimes we have to know how to say no. And it's after we say no that then God's blessing really begins to open. So he could have had half the kingdom. He could, you know, his brothers had looked down on him and blah, blah, blah. But he said no. He would rather stay as a shepherd out in the field, taking guff from his older brothers, than to take something that wasn't his time or his place yet. He'd already been anointed king, remember. He knew in his heart, but he didn't say, aha. Now, let me ask you, if you had been anointed, okay, David says just, he'd been anointed king. Let me see, I'm not saying it was like this, but a week later, you stand before the king that's now, and you kill the giant, you deliver the nation. You know what most of it say? Aha, this is it. This is that thing that the prophet said is going to happen. This is it happening. Hallelujah. This is God's answer. This is God's prophecy coming true. We would have taken that thing and run. But David didn't do that. What did David do? He said, I only want one thing. I want his armor. And it says that he put it in the corner of his tent. Why? Or he put it in his tent. I think of it in the corner. Because when he'd be sleeping, he'd go to bed at night and he'd be praising God and he'd wake up in the morning and he'd praise God. But he'd look over in the corner of his tent and what did he see? He saw Goliath's armor. The first thing, just the same way his song reminded him over and over again of what he had done, that token in the tent, David's song and the token in the tent, that token reminded him, you are a giant killer. Doesn't matter what you look like to your brothers. Doesn't matter what it looks like to your father. Doesn't matter if you get run out of the country like he did when he went into Ziklag. Was it Ziklag? Anyway, and doesn't matter when you're hiding in the cave and all of the people who are drawn to you are just ne'er-do-wells. You know, absolutely, you are a giant killer. Why was that important? God knew that his nemesis all his life would be a 7-foot king. Let me tell you why we write a song. Let me tell you why we put a token in the tent. Because if your nemesis is a 7-foot king, if on day one of ministry, like the week after you got anointed, you kill a 10-foot giant, will you ever again be afraid of a 7-foot king? There are places I've been in the world and things that I've done that I look back and I think, oh my gosh. But one thing it taught me, why should I, if God delivered me out of the hands of adversaries who wanted to kill me, why should I be afraid of an unpaid electric bill? If God delivered me from my enemies with guns in my faces, why should I now be afraid of a policeman stopping me for a ticket? I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but we let little fears creep over us. If we have seen by God's grace and by our hand the dead raised, why do I worry about the flu? We want to be wise. We want to still call upon him. I don't mean to be arrogant. But God wants us to rehearse. Write your own song this week. You probably have not killed a mountain lion or a bear or a giant. But you've done something with God's power by your hand that can remind you who you are, so that when your trial comes, you remember you're a giant killer. And nothing will make you to be afraid or to doubt yourself. It's not that we doubt God. We doubt ourselves. It's important to have a song that reminds us of how big God is and how big God is in us. But we also need to remember what God has done through our own hands, through our own feet, through our own words, how that we have seen these things and testify not of what we've heard. When God was looking for men to tell Jesus' story, he couldn't pick the people for whom it was hearsay. These are the men who saw it, who were there when these things happened. An eyewitness. What are you an eyewitness of? What has God done in your life that makes you an eyewitness to his power, to his goodness, to his love, to his kindness, and above all, to his faithfulness? Then write yourself a song. Write yourself a song. David can say, I killed a lion, I'm a lion killer. You may not have killed a lion, but you may have banished cancer. I banished cancer. Why am I going to be afraid of something now? And continue to rehearse it and add another verse and add another verse and put tokens of our victory up to fill our ears, to fill our eyes of what we have seen. Because how is it that change occurs? What is it? We all, with open face, beholding in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image. Whatever glory we behold is what we're changed to. Let's not write songs of discouragement or defeat. Let's not write songs of unforgiveness, of deceit, where people have done us wrong and done us bad. Let us remember that even in the face of that, what God has done for us, write a song this week. You don't have to be brilliant. You just have to be anointed. He was anointed as king. He sang his song. He continued to look every morning. He opened his eyes. He saw that armor. God has prepared you and is preparing you and will continue to prepare you to be all that he's meant you to be. In your own life, you are a giant killer. Write that song and sing it in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this week. We thank you for how good and kind you've been to us and how you are always looking out for us. Help us to remember this week of all that you've done and to rehearse it over and over and over until it transforms us into who we truly are, not who we want to become, but how you see us. Thank you for this time together. Keep us all safe until we come back here again next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed. Looking forward to being with you again. Bye-bye.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Parkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903
1-800-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found